Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's actually not the one I like. I like the other Dropkick Murphys. Welcome to St. Paddy's Day on The Savage Nation. I myself am not Irish, but I'm Irish for a day, and I grew up in a city that was peopled with Irish cops when the city was actually safe. When I was a kid, because if you messed with them, they broke your head with a nightstick. That tended to keep juvenile delinquency down. Now, jobs training programs are great. Psychological counseling is great. Grieving is great. Little teddy bears and balloons are great. But you know, a nightstick tends to keep juvenile delinquents in their place better than balloons. Anyway, welcome to the Savage Nation. I can't say that I'm in a more irreverent mood than some days. Yesterday I was in a dead serious mood with no irreverence. But I opened the show yesterday with something that was, I think, quite creative that went over everyone's head except a few of you. And I'd like to replay it because it's fabulous. It's about everything being free in America. Let's hear it.
Send Congress my plan to bring the cost of community colleges down to zero. Because 2 years of higher education should be as free and universal as high school is today. This week, I unveiled another way that we can help more Americans afford college. It doesn't involve any new spending or bureaucracy.
Oh, no.
It's a simple declaration of values, I call a student aid bill of rights.
Oh, sure.
It says that every student deserves access to a quality, affordable education.
Oh, God.
Every student should be able to access the resources to pay for college. Every borrower has the right to an affordable repayment plan. Mm-hmm. And every borrower has the right to quality customer service, reliable information, and fair treatment, even if they struggle to repay their loan.
Hey, thank you very much, President King Obama. Your vision for America is very, very worthy of a man of your stature. If only you and the First Lady didn't fly on two separate jets last week to Los Angeles for television appearances, just think of the scholarships you could have given to some deserving poor students. But just as in America, where the country's being flooded with illegals to swing elections, that's how we wound up with Dianne Feinstein for 500 years. That's how Nancy Pelosi keeps her grip on Congress for 3,000 years. That's how Barbara Boxer has been around since Methuselah, in my estimation. Now they've done it to Israel. That's right. Your progressive criminal administration sent hundreds of activists, meaning liberal scum, to Israel to undermine Netanyahu because they hate Netanyahu because he's too patriotic. He's too much of a nationalist. What they want is a, well, you know what they want, the same as they have here. So that's the story. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You realize how racist and sexist and ist that is? Now, who has said that? Boy, that was a right-winger named John F. Kennedy, remember? Can you play that for them?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Now, of course, if JFK gave that speech today, he'd be called a fascist by the esteemed progressives in the media. It's astounding how the world has changed. And speaking of change, today being March 17th, I'm very close to my 21st anniversary in radio. Did you know that? Next Tuesday, on March 24th, God willing, I will have been on the radio for 21 years. I don't believe the time has gone that far, so quickly. It's hard for me to actually imagine 21 years have gone by, but it's true. Next Tuesday will be my 21st year in radio. And I would like you to send some ideas right now verbally of what you would like me to do. We have some ideas brewing. Lots of free things will be given away, but I'd like to know what you'd like to hear. We have some very special shows to play for you, little pieces of things that, of course, you may have heard, but it's a minuscule number of you would have heard them. I'm contemplating whether to play for you an interview that I did with the inventor of the neutron bomb, Sam Cohen. I found the interview on a little DAT tape. Those of you in the media know what a DAT tape is. And it was hidden away in my archives, and we have it ready for the show. We will have it ready for the show. It's a remarkable, remarkable interview with one of the most exceptional men of our time, Sam Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb. I may play that next Tuesday. And now I'd like to talk about San Francisco. Here's a city that I moved to in 1974. I was born in New York, as you can probably figure out from my Irish accent. And then I left New York in 1968 to pursue graduate studies for 1 year in Honolulu at the University of Hawaii. And I stayed 6 years because I was so infatuated with the tropics and plants. I found myself doing ethnobotanical research. I received two master's degrees, one of which was published. The dissertation was published by a journal at Harvard University. And I left Honolulu in 1974 because my firstborn child was entering the first grade, and the racism was so awesome against Caucasians, that is, those who couldn't afford private school. I had to bring him to a place where kids weren't picked on because of their race. And I moved to California in 74. And then I entered the University of California at Berkeley, and I received my PhD in 1978. And, well, the years went on. I did many different things, continued my research, did consulting, wrote books. I was mainly in the area of health and nutrition. And then, as things would turn, in 1994, I cut my first radio show, sample show, and sent it to 500 stations. I got a list from a gentleman in the business. And I received an invitation to be on four stations, one of which was in my backyard. And it was KGO at the time, by the way. And they had me do a night fill-in show. I'll tell you more about it another time. But I can't believe the years have gone by so quickly. I mean, I feel the same way I did. And when you hear the tapes that I play for you next week, from 94, 97, 98, 2000, just spin the clock, you won't hear any change in my voice. People say, how is it possible that your voice has not changed? I said, ask God. And it's probably from unhealthful living. I would say it's a product of daily alcohol imbibing, at least. I would say it's from vodka, beer, wine, garlic, vitamins, mega vitamins. I mean, more vitamins than you could pack into a freight train have gone through my system. I'm serious. They have definitely had an amazing effect upon me. But so has, I would say, living wildly. I would say wild living is the secret to getting to this point in life, wild living. I sit here in front of the microphone every day. The fact of the matter is, the fastest thing to kill anyone is normalcy. I would say that a normal path has a higher chance of dying than does a psychopath, probably from suicide. No one's ever said that, but it's quite funny. But you know, normal pathology is a very serious disease in the suburbs. You can see it all around you. You see the zombies walking around, not knowing where to barbecue next. I mean, I'm afraid of these old women with barbecue forks. So today, Rich Lieberman in San Francisco, who writes a column, Rich Lieberman 415 Media, did a very interesting article, which I'm going to read for you. And then I'm going to get into all of the news. And by the way, we're lucky today because the results of the Israeli election will be coming down while I'm on the air. And we'll see if the evil doer in the White House has been able to undermine the leader of another nation. It's unbelievable to me that he hasn't been in prison for this. I don't know how you can tolerate a president that is more demonic than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Not only does he meddle in elections here by flooding America with illegal aliens, but he meddles in foreign elections, flies to California to be on television, has his wife fly to be on television, and no one says a word? Astounding, huh? And then pushes the big lie about global warming, which they've rebranded as climate change. So the article appears today in the most liberal city in the United States of America, perhaps the most insane city in the United States of America politically, where they now want to give 16-year-olds the right to vote. That really makes great sense, since the average moron who votes doesn't know what they're voting for, now give a 16-year-old the right to vote. So the headline for Tuesday, March 17, 2015, in the Lieberman column is this. Savage did more than to become the king of SF radio. He was the only Bay Area talk show host that made it nationally, too. KSFO Savage Nation, compelling part of syndicated radio, beat all odds. So I'll read the article to you. Who'd have believed that a quirky, educated, unconventional guy from the Bronx would end up in San Francisco as one of the most popular voices on American syndicated radio? He writes, the king of interesting, provocative, entertaining talk radio with an eye for unpredictability did one better. Michael Savage, heard live on KSFO and 250 other stations, has become the only talk radio voice in the San Francisco area to make it big in the syndicated radio fortress against all odds and out of the blue. Savage began at KGO in 1994 and quickly established himself as a force in the business. How ironic that it was Savage that would emerge from the 415 area code into the heart of America and beyond, from the same station where Mr. Softy, a once dominant talker who now can't even buy a new Aloha shirt, couldn't cut it in L.A. I edited that. He then goes on, and I'll cut it short. He said, Savage's popularity bewilders those who are aghast at his ability to connect to a national audience. He's still regarded as something of a professional outcast because he doesn't play the game practiced by others. To Savage's credit, he's built a professional pedigree that doesn't kowtow to the establishment, that doesn't cozy up to the nebbishes that act one way on the air and are precisely the opposite off the air. Savage had the other essentials. He earned his PhD from Cal after two master's degrees. He's one of the most educated talkers in the U.S., which may explain his ability to walk with kings but never lose the common trust. Savage's critics, and I'm one of them occasionally, even if many of you don't know or care, point out his drifts into extremism rants and borderline insanity. And that's what makes him so weirdly compelling. Now, to the nuts in San Francisco, if you love your country, you're considered insane. But he's a thought-provoking genius. Blah, blah, blah. Savage Nation and its leading conductor, Savage himself, has built up the successful broadcast reservoir due to a basic human element. And he goes on. It's a very, very interesting article. I'm not asking you to comment on it. I happen to still love living in San Francisco. When I wake up in the morning and I look at the birds outside my window, and I feed the seagulls leftover bagels. In fact, I keep the fattest seagulls in the San Francisco Bay Area because I feed them bagels on a daily basis. For some reason, I buy too many. They go stale. I'm always going on a diet or something, and then I don't eat them. But the birds see me come out, and I'm known as the Birdman of Alcatraz to them. I come out, immediately I start flocking, and I throw them a bagel. But one of the reasons I love the Bay Area is obviously the Bay, a place where most of the mayors of the city have never been on. That's right. If you check, you'll find out that most of the ex-mayors have never been on San Francisco Bay. They're from the Bay Area, but they're afraid of the water for some reason. I love the water. It's what keeps me here, as well as the mountains and the sea, which are so nearby. The only thing I don't love here are the people, which are the meanest people in the United States of America. They're mean because they're narrow-minded. They're mean because they're provincial. They're mean because they think that they're better than everybody else. And that's one of the reasons I've chosen to remain somewhat of a hermit. Occasionally, I do leave the studio, such as last Friday night. I had a young man who works for me drive me into San Francisco to the North Beach restaurant. And I hadn't been there in a long time. As you know, I had a good friend who owned it, who died last year, who I really truthfully consider him one of the closest people in my life, even though we weren't that close. We were spiritually very close. Lorenzo Petroni owned that restaurant, built it up from nothing. This guy had such a remarkable story, and I would go there on a regular basis and eat there. But after he died, I didn't go there much. It wasn't just because I didn't want to think about his memory. I just stopped going to the city altogether. Anyway, to make a long story short, I wanted to go into the city. I go to the North Beach restaurant, and his son Peter's running it now. I walk in the restaurant. I say, hey, Peter, I want to sit in your father's chair. Lorenzo used to sit in that chair and stare at you as you came in the front door. No one else sat at that table but him. And apparently no one else is allowed to sit at that table until now. That's what I was told. They should tape it off and turn it into a museum piece. Peter said, okay, to the waiters. He snapped his fingers, prepared Dad's table for Michael Savage. Because I had been thinking about Lorenzo and what an unnecessary suffering he went through at the end from the cancer. The doctors mutilated him. They tortured him. They tormented him. And, you know, I got to tell you something. Despite the miracles of modern medicine, much of it is experimental, and it's all made for one reason only, and that is to profit the doctor. It's sickening what they did to him. Anyway, I had a great meal, enjoyed myself very much. The food is better than ever. I'll be right back to take your calls and give you all the latest news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Let's put it in perspective. Young people, I understand this is important to you, but yeah, you should be thinking about climate change. Right. The economy, jobs, war and peace, maybe way at the bottom you should be thinking about marijuana.
That's very important. So, in other words, hello? What is he talking about? He was on some show called Vice, I don't know what it is, where he espoused all of the shibboleths of the radical left, putting climate change at the top of the list, not talking about the Islamic State, which he permitted to proliferate. That shouldn't be on their list. The radical Muslims amongst us? Here is an example. Muslim Students Association protest American sniper screening. Sedition. It's not First Amendment. They're against everything American. What? They're just a front group. They're just a front group. That's all. You'll find out one day how right I was. You'll find out you're the nut, not me. Those of you who think you're so progressive. You're not progressive. You're cowards. That's all. You live in the past. Well, you think that everybody wants to be your friend. They don't want to be your friend. Some of them want to throw you down a well and kill you. They like to slash your throat and burn your church and synagogue to the ground, you idiots, you. But that's not how you were raised. Here's another crazy story. Are you ready? Starbucks wants barristers. That's a, I don't know, a barrister. Starbucks want barristers. That's a coffee server. To discuss race with customers. Now, if I go into Starbucks and one of those idiot college dropouts starts to talk race with me, I'm going to curse them out and tell them I came in here for a cup of coffee, not your idiotic opinions. Just shut up and serve me a cup of coffee. How are they turning Starbucks into a little mini fascist booth, a projection booth of fascism? Who asked them to talk about race in Starbucks? What's that about?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Prejudice that the Irish experienced when they arrived on these shores. You don't hear them bellyaching. How come? How come the Irish don't ask for reparations? They were treated like dogs. Do you understand that? They were sneered at, spat at, given the backseat in every position that you could possibly imagine. It's this truth for virtually every immigrant group in this country. They just, you know, pulled up their boots and went to work, hoping that their children would do better than they did. That's the way it was done. That was the American way, incidentally, was to hope your children would do better than you did. Now we have a president who hopes that your children do better than you did. And in order for him to have your children do better than you did, he'd like to make sure you're bankrupt before he leaves office. So he's offering them, well, anything he can that's free. In addition to this insanity, he's blaming Bush for the rise of ISIS, which is a scream. ISIS was largely, we know, an outgrowth of Al-Qaeda, but they were defeated as a result of Bush's acts and the war in Iraq. And it was Obama who permitted the proliferation of ISIS by precipitously withdrawing troops from Iraq. But the liar-in-chief continues to revise history by going on these left-wing outlets and appearing before these TV monkeys. I don't know who owns Vice News. I have no idea why a president would debase himself like this, but he goes on Jimmy Kimmel. That's a very reliable source. Listen to what he had to say about this in 4 and 5.
ISIL is a direct outgrowth of Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That grew out of our invasion, which is an example of unintended consequences, which is why we should generally aim before we shoot. If you ask the average person, how much do we spend on foreign aid?
Stop right there. I want to hear only four. We should generally aim before we shoot. Why don't you aim at ISIS and then shoot? Why are you letting the campaign against these vermin into Crete falter? Why are you not ordering the Air Force to wipe ISIS out? You send the Iraqi forces in, who are weak to begin with, under American advisement. They were doing well for a while. Now they're losing so many men, our proxy force there, that they've basically withdrawn from the fight. ISIS was there ready to be destroyed, and you did not order your Air Force to kill them. Why, Mr. President? Could you answer that on Vice News? Maybe you'll answer that question one day. as to why you refuse to call ISIS Islamic and why you refuse to kill them. It gets worse, by the way. He calls anyone who is a global warming realist a shill for the oil companies. Now, I personally never met anyone who works for the oil companies. I know how to read science, and I guess that makes me a shill for science because he's a shill for propaganda. Listen to clip number 8 in this propaganda display of the president.
If you poll folks, they're concerned about climate change, but they're even more concerned about gas prices. You can't fault somebody for being concerned about paying the bills or being able to fill up your tank to get
to
your
job. You don't have to fill up your
tank. In some cases, though, you have elected officials who are shills for the oil companies or the fossil fuel industry, and there's a lot of money involved.
Now, what about officials elected who are shills for the green lobby? How many of your cronies have made billions of dollars, let's go back to Solyndra, on phony solar projects, Mr. President? How many of your cronies are shills for the false green industry? Now, don't get me wrong. I'd love to live in a world where everything was clean, but we're not there yet. And I don't want my country bankrupted by this pie-in-the-sky nonsense. But it gets even worse. Listen to the President of the United States talking about his children in clip 10.
But here's what keeps me optimistic is you talk to Malia and Sasha, you know, mm-hmm. 16 and 13, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the sophistication and awareness that they have about environmental issues compared to my generation or yours, they're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, well, they're way ahead of the global warming game. That's right. That's the game he's talking about, the global warming game. See, all children have now been brainwashed by the schools. The teachers don't know any more than they do. They're also brainwashed. And it's sad to understand how far this country has fallen where there is no skepticism whatsoever. Skepticism is now considered a crime, whether it be Senator Cotton sending a skeptical letter to the Iranian mullahs or scientists who are skeptical of the big lie about man-caused global warming. Skepticism is now considered a crime. But I will remind all of you who don't understand the first rule of science. The first rule of science is that there are no absolutes. Write it down. I learned that in the seventh grade. I guess Barack Obama was studying community organizing in the seventh grade. He was reading Grandpa Alinsky's early writings. The fact of the matter is, the first thing you teach a child is that the first rule of science is that there are no absolutes. What does that mean, there are no absolutes? When you hear a politician say that the science is in, you know they're lying. When you hear a politician saying 99% of scientists agree that global warming is real, that man is causing it, you know they're lying. First of all, the number isn't 99%. That's number one. But it wouldn't matter if it was 99.5%. What matters is what's the science, not the consensus. And the science does not support this lie. It's a big lie. Now, we all want a cleaner world. I've worked for it far longer than Barack Obama has. In fact, I would argue that I've learned more about the environment, I would say, than he has. I was working to save tropical rainforests going back to 1969. So I don't have to be lectured to by these individuals who tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm owned by the oil companies. It's absurd. Let's have a real rational debate. Let's put all the facts out there and show the fraud of global warming, and let's get on with our life. Don't call me on this. The Israeli polls will close in exactly 20 minutes, and we're all waiting to see if Obama's been able to steal the election from Bibi. Let's pray to God that this monster in the White House failed, and let's hope that the Senate finds out that it was government money that was used to send those cretins there to poll against Bibi and to open the polls up to illegitimate voters as they've done here. And I hope they go to jail. I hope this guy Byrd, who they sent over there, this cretin Byrd, who ran Obama's 08 election, he's a community organizer, I hope that if they find out he broke law, he goes to prison. I am so tired of scandal after scandal after scandal with no ramifications. I'd like to see them in prison. I want my country back from the gangsters. So let's take some calls now on the Savage Nation. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Gary, WMAL, Sterling, Virginia. I'm actually calling about Mr. Byrd. You know, you say you're very educated, but I cannot believe you're misinforming your listeners on this subject so blatantly. It's pretty obvious that Mr. Netanyahu hired John McLaughlin, a Republican pollster. His party hired Vincent Harris, a campaign aide to Senator Rand Paul.
Whoa. You're turning things around. What are you saying, that Obama did not send 193 operatives to Israel?
Absolutely not. That's what he said.
Well, what do you mean absolutely not? Bird is there in an office in Tel Aviv. Why are you changing reality? You must work for Obama. I can tell by your voice and your Midwestern twang that you're making this whole thing up. Everybody knows that Jeremy Bird is in an office in Tel Aviv. Are you denying that?
No. He runs a campaign firm. What do you think he does?
He runs a campaign firm. In other words, this left-wing fanatic and his minions didn't go to Israel to undermine Netanyahu?
They absolutely did, but also...
Oh, well, thank you for the call. Don't waste my time, okay? Of course they absolutely did. So what are you calling me for? Well, at least the man is willing to admit that he was a liar and contradict himself. That was quick. Thank God for that. We had a rational bias there. WBAP and BAP Radio in Dallas, Texas. Line 8, go ahead, please.
Lance Fleming, Dallas, Texas, WBAP 820 and... Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'm a new listener, and you've got an immense amount of education that I'm gleaning from you. And my question is, out of all your books, besides the current one, which is the other one that I should immediately get into? Because it looks like you've been predicting and talking about this since 04 or earlier.
Well, have you read Stop the Coming Civil War?
That's the one I'm just now getting.
To be honest with you, I'm a prolific author. I've been writing books most of my adult life. In terms of political books, many of them were way ahead of their time, going back to 2004 or 5, but I'm not going to ask you to go buy them. I'm not here to sell books, because much of what I predicted and said in those earlier books, whether they be liberalism as a mental disorder or others, have become common knowledge today as a result of the ripoff artists in the media, who were not even in radio at the time I wrote them. They're claiming that they knew these ideas before I did, which is very interesting because they weren't even in radio. But let's put them aside. Let's put aside those individuals. I would say that you've got the most important of the current books. And, you know, if you want to see fiction, I suggest you buy Abuse of Power or A Time for War, which are my two. I don't know if you know I write fiction as well. Are you aware of that?
No. What were the titles on that?
Oh, well, you're in for quite a thrill. They're thrillers, and one is called Abuse of Power. The second is called A Time for War, and the main character is a former journalist who was drilled out of the profession by bias in the media for being too conservative. The hero's name is Jack Hatfield, and he's the action hero in these books. Both were New York Times bestsellers, but I have good news for my fans of the Jack Hatfield series. In a few weeks, I'm going to be announcing Countdown to Mecca, which will be coming out from St. Martin's Press as well. So you can find Abuse of Power or Time for War right now. Frankly, you can go and buy Countdown to Mecca right now on any of the big sites as well. 855-407-2822. Israeli election turnout the highest since 1999. We're all waiting to see if Obama has been able to steal the election from the patriotic Netanyahu, who he hates. As you know, this president is so demonic that he needs to not only flood America with illegal aliens, he needs to flood the polls in Israel as well in order to undermine anyone who has a conservative orientation towards their own nation. Anyone who is patriotic is on his enemies list. Anyone who respects their nation's sovereignty is on his enemies list. That could be Putin, that could be Netanyahu, that could be any talk show host who likes his nation's borders, language, and culture. We have one of the most demonic, evil administrations the country has ever seen and lived through. We are living through a reign of terror, and there is no end to it. And there is no end to it primarily because of the cowardice of the non-existent opposition party. WABC in New York City, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Doc. You talk about the elections being rigged year after year after year, not only here but throughout the world. And we've become, as another world nation that cannot respect its own elections, we see this in every state and every town and every sector of our own country, And so we followed your advice, and we started a new nationalist party. It's called the National We Party. It takes its name from the first word of the Constitution.
All right, thanks for the call. Okay, thank you very much. I'm not here to talk about someone's pipe dream. I know a liberal lawyer in New York City, very prominent man whose name I will not mention, who went over to Venezuela and helped to make certain that Hugo Chavez was reelected through a fraudulent election. He considers himself a liberal. He considers himself a radical liberal. He's a very wealthy man from his legal profession. And yet he proudly told me about 4 years ago that he was called by Hugo Chavez to Venezuela to make certain that this man, Hugo Chavez, was reelected. He helped him warp the election. He helped him rig the election. And he got him reelected. This is a man who lives in America. This is a man who is a liberal. He happens to be of Jewish descent. And I mention that pointedly because I still, to the end of my days, will never understand the mind of the capos in the Jewish religion. The capos were the individuals in the concentration camps who worked for the Nazis with truncheons to drive Jews into the gas chambers. Lawyers like this are the capos of our time. They are the type who are, and they have names, by the way, who are running the anti-Israel campaigns on a college campuses. I was stunned to learn last week. I thought it was Palestinians. I thought it was Arabs. I thought it was ISIS front groups who were behind the Boycott Israel movement. It wasn't. It was four communist Jews who go back to the civil rights movement who have such insanity that they hate their own people and hate the nation of Israel. They actually believe that if Israel didn't exist as a Jewish state, there'd be peace on earth. That's why I wrote a book years ago called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. It's not laughable. It's frightening to think they're running the world right now, and they're pretty vicious about it. Am I out of time in this segment, or am I about to start a segment? Because I've lost all track of time. We are talking about all the news of the day. When I come back, we're going to be minutes away from the polls closing in Israel. We're talking about my 21st anniversary show coming up next week. We're talking about my new novel called Countdown to Mecca, which is soon going to be published by St. Martin's Press. And we're talking about all the news of the day. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Way back.
All right, we get the picture. It's a St. Patty's Day. Right? The Irish don't even drink anymore. That's a stereotype, the Irish drunk. You know, a lot of racial stereotypes are racial stereotypes. The last I checked, the Irish had one of the lowest alcohol drinking rates in Europe. Did you know that? The young people, I think, are on heroin. No, I'm joking. They gave up on the beer and the booze. They're not following in the way of their grandfather. Air Force vet charged with trying to join ISIS. An American citizen, a U.S. Air Force veteran who worked as an airplane mechanic and was trained in weapon systems, was charged today with trying to go to Syria to fight for ISIS. Tyrod Nathan Webster Pugh of Asbury Park, New Jersey, was arrested Jan 16th before he could carry out his plan to join the black-clad jihadist army. No picture of him yet. Tyrod Nathan Webster Pugh, we're trying to find a picture of him, and since there is no picture, we can only assume he doesn't look like Timothy McVeigh. I wonder why they're hiding the picture of the traitor, Tyrod Nathan Webster Pugh. I wonder why. And where is Ferguson? I mean, where is... What's his name? Eric Ferguson Holder on this. Nothing to say about that one? He was too busy trying to smear the police to worry about terrorists? Whatever. I like saying whatever. It's so all-encompassing. It actually has a certain ring to it. When we come back, we're going to see what happened in Israel. Stay tuned to the Savage Nation. We have all the breaking news on that event, which is going to be the big one. I have a terrible fear that Obama has succeeded in manipulating a foreign election. If he broke the law through his buffers, prison.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The world's waiting to hear the results of the election in Israel. The polls closed a few minutes ago. And we do know that Obama has meddled in the election. Everyone knows that. That's why the world's watching. They want to see if Obama's madness will spread to Israel, which will then disarm itself and turn itself into a nation of, let us say, victims all over again. We have the Churchill of our time running Israel, despite the controversies around Netanyahu, and there are many, and despite the allegations of corruption, which is real, just as there are corruption allegations here in this country, there are those there. Tell me which country is not corrupt. The fact of the matter is, Netanyahu is the best thing for the Israeli population to survive. And the pacifists who are dreaming of a peace with those who would kill them are just dreaming. But nevertheless, Obama sent Jeremy Byrd and some other lowlifes to Israel under the guise of being an NGO, a non-governmental organization, all working to defeat Netanyahu by leading get-out-the-vote organizing drives aimed at replacing the Netanyahu government with a left-wing socialist coalition, a pacifist coalition, by the way. We don't know whether Obama will be successful, but we do know this. This group of villains in V15 has drawn international attention because they partnered with One Voice, which is a U.S.-U.K. nonprofit that has previously received funding from the U.S. State Department. And I can give you all the details about it, but you can go to WorldNet Daily and get all of the ins and outs of it. What I want to do now is look to the results, because that's all that matters. And we'll see those in a few minutes. Do we have any exit polls yet, guys? TV exit polls show Netanyahu likely to retain premiership as the top of drudge. Let's pray to God that God intervened. And let's pray to God that Obama is then shown for being what he is, a villain. You know, maybe if, let's just start with a maybe job. Let's say if Netanyahu does succeed to stay in power, despite the machinations of the demonic individual in the White House and the sorority around him, the next step would be to see how far Obama may have meddled in the Israeli election through his front groups, see if there's Soros money involved, see if there's Rockefeller money involved, and then prosecute them if they broke the law and see if this could unravel the entire corruption that we've all been living through under this regime. It would be very interesting to me to see if there is any trail that could be traced back to the White House or to the Rockefeller Foundation or to George Soros, if any laws were broken and if they could be prosecuted. Wouldn't it be Israel interesting if it's Israel and this election that finally brings down the most evil cabal the world has ever seen in this, the most evil cabal this nation has ever seen, to be very specific? We don't know the answer. We don't know how it's going to end up, but a TV exit polls and the Times of Israel now, TV exit polls show Netanyahu likely to retain premiership. High turnout on polling day. Netanyahu says foreign money could topple Likud. Despite his warnings of a high Arab turnout, it lags 12 points behind Jewish homes seen shrinking in final hours. Now you say, well, who cares about Israel? You know, who really cares? It's just a small nation of 3 million people. Well, you could say that, but you know, if you've been to Israel, as I have only twice in my life, and I haven't been there for many years, I almost moved there, but I made the wise decision never to move there. I would never move there because I didn't want to subject my children to that world, to be frank with you. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life, was not to move there. That's a whole story for another day. I don't want to make it too personal. If you've ever been to Israel and you see the Arabs and the Jews and the Christians walking around in Jerusalem, you'll know why Israel is still the most, in some ways, the most important nation on earth. A small nation, yes, but it's sort of the center of the world for spiritual reasons, both to the to all of the three principal religions that I just mentioned, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Jerusalem seems to be the center of that world. That's where monotheism began in many ways, not exactly in Jerusalem, but in the area. And I don't want to go on and on about Israel because it's a corrupt nation, like all nations are, and a nation with high taxation and a government that's out of control, by the way, with things that you would never tolerate in this country are tolerated by the average Israeli. But the issue is national security, national security, national security, isn't it? To me, that's the number one issue for America. National security. We have the opposite of a nation that's secure under Barack Obama. We have a president who seems to either be enabling the other side or working out right for the other side, depending upon how far you want to go with your paranoia. It's that simple. Why are there so many questions about Obama's loyalty? It's because there are questions about Obama's loyalty. It's just not clear. He's not clear. He won't call ISIS Islamic. He won't use our military hardware, meaning our jets against ISIS, when they were all around to Crete and about to be destroyed. He didn't call in the Air Force. So which side is he on? Is he playing for the other side? You think I'm the only one asking this question? If I were, I'd be thrown off the radio for asking it. Millions of thoughtful Americans are asking this question about Barack Obama. And then we wake up now to the election in Israel, and we find out that he meddled in a foreign election. He tried to overthrow Netanyahu, who he hates, by meddling in a foreign election. I pray to God that Netanyahu wins. And if God is listening to me, God, I'm looking up to the ceiling right now, my radio station. I pray to God Netanyahu retains his power. And I pray to God that if it is found that this government tried to manipulate that election, if any laws were broken, I pray to God they go to prison. That finally we are freed from this regime. Well, those are just two prayers of one simple man. The Savage Nation, run by me and my dog, Teddy. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Likud is vying for the role for his fourth time. And he made a last-ditch attempt over the past days to win back voters, mainly from the right-wing bloc. He vowed yesterday night to block a Palestinian state should he remain in office. And on the other side are the left-wing fanatics of Israel, along with the Arab parties. And we'll have to see what happens. I don't have an answer. But I hope that there's an easy right-wing coalition that retains its power in Israel. And according to the major exit polls, Netanyahu is within easy reach of a right-wing coalition. Who are they? Likud, Jewish Home, Yisrael Betanyu, Shas, all of whom are essentially committed to backing Netanyahu for premier, which will come to 48 seats in their parliamentary system. And if Netanyahu could entice two other parties, Kulanu and United Torah Judaism, which it seems to be an easy thing to happen, Netanyahu will put over the top with 63 seats, according to Channel 2's poll. We'll see what happens. It doesn't mean very much to the average American who can't even add. But nevertheless, it means a lot to the future of the world. Did you know that there are ballot boxes in Israel's prisons? You didn't know that. Did you know that, Robert? Did you know that? Prisoner turnout reached 82% in Israel. Did you know that? We don't have voting in our prisons here. Wow, what a liberal nation they really are. Final voter turnout is now reported at 81.74% of Israel's prison population. I wonder who they voted for. I can pretty much guess. This is a very exciting election. I don't know the result, but we'll find out very soon. 29% of IDF soldiers voted by noon. 29% of the soldiers voted by noon, 2.8% more than during the 2013 election. I don't know the answer. If you'd like to comment on the fact that Obama is meddling in a foreign election, if you'd like to comment on that, the phone number is 855-407-2822. Let's take our first caller on this topic from San Francisco, KSFO Radio. Line 6, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, my name's Garth Michaels, and I'm from KSFO San Francisco calling about the Israeli election. You just nailed it, and that is how the Israeli election process actually works. What's very comforting and encouraging to us is that the result of this particular election really means little to nothing. Everything depends upon the formation of the coalition government. And Netanyahu has tremendous strength in being able to form a coalition that is so far ahead of Herzog's even ability to dream of any coalition.
Let's go to the bigger issue for the average listener of my program. Why does Obama want Netanyahu thrown out of office?
Because he is working very hard to to expand the caliphate everywhere in the world. He is not here for America for the benefit of the world.
Do you actually, are you in the camp that believes Obama's a traitor? I mean, let's clear the air. I hear this all the time. I read it all the time. And I don't think everyone who says that is crazy. Why do you say that?
There is tremendous evidence that Obama is, whether a card-carrying member or not, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. At the very least, you know that there are six Muslim Brotherhood members, without question, who are in his administration.
Yes, I know this for a fact. That's a factual reality.
And five out of six of these are affiliated as advisors, or one way or the other, with the Department of Homeland Insecurity.
Correct.
Now,
so wait, then you would agree this government has been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And you say that Barack Obama is the head of that infiltration.
He is the one who did the Arab Spring. He was directly related along with his, directly responsible, along with his Muslim Brotherhood buddies.
Well, isn't that why he wanted the Egyptians to restore the Muslim Brotherhood when they threw them out? Because they're monsters?
Absolutely.
Well, hold on now. Then why, tell me how John McCain fits into this. Why did John McCain go there and try to get the Muslim Brotherhood reinstalled in Egypt?
You know, you mentioned about the opposition party. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. As far as I'm concerned, what I hear is a lot of noise and no action.
But, but John McCain has to be seen for what he is. He is a war hero. He did suffer at the hands of the Vietnamese. I don't like his policies, but don't take that away from him. Do you think he would be a traitor too?
Absolutely. Then there's one way to know, and that is by what he does. Anybody that would go over...
Then why would John McCain want the Muslim Brotherhood restored to Egypt? I don't understand that. Shouldn't even a nut like he understand how crazy that is?
Yeah, I don't... It's what it is. You really don't know who is so strongly part of which side or the other until you see what they do. And I guarantee you this. If McCain goes over to try to get the Muslim Brotherhood back in... He is on Obama's side and...
Well, he went over there. He tried to do it. He went to Tahrir Square and he lectured the Egyptians. It's lucky that he got out alive.
That's the answer.
Thank you for the call. We're running short of time. We're asking this. Does Netanyahu have a rendezvous with destiny? Does Netanyahu have a rendezvous with destiny? We'll be right back to find out momentarily on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. How did an unknown senator from Illinois become president of the United States? The same way that this unknown senator from Illinois, who is now president of the United States of America, is undermining Netanyahu in Israel, manipulating the election, flooding the election with illegal voters. His, in this country, his first lieutenant, Eric Holder, leads an organization whose attorneys have committed more than 650 ethical violations, according to the Department of Justice's own Office of Professional Responsibility. And when you look beyond Obama's domestic policy, you find a foreign policy that makes Jimmy Carter look like General George Patton. From the Middle East to North Africa to Ukraine, Obama has made every potentially fatal error you can imagine when it comes to protecting our national interests. Despots laugh out loud when Obama opens his mouth to chastise them for not adhering to, quote, global community standards as they commit terrorist acts that kill U.S. soldiers, Christians, and even their own Muslim brothers and sisters in the name of an Islamic jihad that Obama is unwilling to recognize, let alone admit even exists. He exclaims, I can do whatever I want. He writes his own rules and then sends out his cabinet secretaries to impose these dictates on industries that are vital not only to our national sovereignty, but to our very survival as a nation. Did you know that Congress wanted to pass legislation which would have required the president to follow the law by enabling them to, quote, sue the president over whether he has properly discharged his constitutional obligation to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, exceeds constitutional limitations, close quote. You know what Obama's response was? He threatened to veto such a bill. A list of Obama's disregard for the law could go on ad infinitum. But now we see he is meddling in a foreign election. Let's see if the election in Israel is too close to call or if Netanyahu will pull out the narrow lead by putting together a coalition government. After it is over, the Senate committee that is investigating the creation of the equivalent of ACORN, the old Alinsky tactics, will find out if, in fact, you can link this back to some higher-ups in the Obama administration. This is a big investigation ongoing. We don't know if it'll get where it should go, and we don't really know where it will end. But we do know this. We're living through the most shameful time in American history, run by the most shameful man in the White House. Now let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. WSVA Radio, go ahead, please. You're on the program.
Yes, this is Juan calling from New York, WSVA 910. And I was looking through some Facebook posting, and I noticed that they were busing people in from the Arab district.
And well, is that any different than in America, busing in illegal aliens and people who can't or not allowed to vote? You look at the Democrats. How do you think they have such a grip on power? Through illegal aliens, non-citizens, and multiple voting. So they're using the same corrupt tactics on Netanyahu. We're living in a banana republic right now, and let's pray to God that it changes and that Israel is the linchpin to undo this regime. When I come back, the latest results from Israel right here on the Savage Nation, as they say in the biz, don't touch that dial.
Savage. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Realistic American voter, where we have a choice between a diet soda and a diet soda, which is diet Democrat or diet Republican parties, it's very complex. The Byzantine politics of Israel are bewildering to the average American, where you have a parliamentary system to begin with, which is unexplainable to the average American, who's so used to either picking one crook or another, that it's hard to explain that Netanyahu can put together a coalition and retain power. No one understands what a coalition is, and there's no point in explaining it. The bottom line is your president, through front groups, has tried to throw Netanyahu out of office because the left hates nationalists of any stripe, whether it be Netanyahu who is for the protection of the Israelis by defining their borders, language, and culture, or Putin. What do they both have in common? They're nationalists. They love their country. And to Obama, that's the enemy. To a man without a country, a man with a country is the enemy. To a man who considers himself a citizen of the world, there are no enemies but the citizens of his nation, the nation that gave him birth, that want a nation. Or is that too convoluted for you? Anyway, we're watching for the results in Israel. They're not here. There's a razor-thin chance that Netanyahu will win and be able to put together a coalition. In fact, a report just came out of Israel, Jim reported just now out of Jerusalem, that Netanyahu has left his headquarters, and they're heading for a victory party. Whether it's premature, we don't know. We're going to just keep checking on this. If you care to comment on the manipulation of this all-important election by Obama through these front groups, by all means, give us a call. Next up on the Savage Nation is from New York City on WABC Radio in New York City. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael?
Yes, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm actually calling from Rhode Island, listening to WABC. In respect to the elections and Putin, I think this is, as you said, a much larger threat to U.S. foreign policy. Where you come down in terms of Ukraine versus Russia, and I've lived and worked for 15 years in Russia and Ukraine, and I have, you know, strong opinions on this. But at the end of the day, what the U.S. and Obama's meddling in Israeli elections is telling us, it just underscores Putin's and the Russian people's, you know, you're talking about 85% of the Russian people, suspect that the U.S. meddled in Ukrainian elections directly.
Of course they did. We know they did. There was a Ukrainian prime minister who was elected, who was overthrown as a result of the agitation spurred on by John McCain. I remember exactly what happened. McCain is a man who drives me crazy. He is a man who should know better. He went, you remember he gave a speech in Ukraine and right after that there were riots and they overthrew the prime minister of Ukraine and he had to flee the country?
Exactly, but the president of Ukraine was in effect a Russian puppet. But that being said,
yes, you're right. I agree with you. Yes, he was a Russian puppet.
U.S. What we do now, how can the U.S. with any legitimacy say to Russia that they should?
So what is Netanyahu a Jewish puppet?
How could we?
To Obama, then Netanyahu would be a Jewish puppet who too strongly represents the Jewish people.
Right. And how can the U.S. now say that Russia should not meddle in Ukrainian elections and affairs when we're basically committing election fraud there? They're busing.
That's a very good point. That's right. In other words, what Obama did in Ukraine is what he's trying to do in Israel.
How can you criticize the Russians now with any moral authority?
Yeah, but to be fair to this discussion, let's pull back for a minute. We all have this terrible distaste for Obama because not only of his policies, but because of his corruption. Witness the flying to the West Coast last week on one plane and his wife on the other. That's as corrupt as it gets. We have a distaste for him, but we have to be clear. Meddling in foreign elections is nothing new. The United States has been manipulating foreign elections for as long as I can remember. Going back to overthrowing leaders in Chile, for example. You know the CIA has done that for God knows how many decades, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this is nothing new. Obama meddling in the Israeli election may be distasteful, but it's really part of the U.S. experience, isn't it?
Well, what I think this sets apart now under Obama is that the U.S. is basically becoming rampant in our own election. So it's bad enough that we're doing it election fraud in our own country and busing people to the polls, and it's just out of control. We're doing it in others as well.
Why does the Congressional Black Caucus continue to scream that voter ID laws are racist? That's on the face of it insane. Why would a voter ID law be racist when every sane nation on earth has a voter ID law?
And if you sit down with any Russian in Moscow or anywhere in Russia and you talk about this, they will rightly say to you, who are you, who is the U.S. to say what Russia should be doing in Ukraine?
Well, here's the way I look at it. Ukraine is in Russia's backyard, not our backyard. This would be the equivalent of Russia complaining if we did something about Mexico. And we say to Russia, you have no business meddling in Mexico, or Canada, right? This is in Russia's backyard. But the real issue is this, and I think you know it as an expert from the area by what you alleged. You spent time there, whatever. I'll have to take you on your word. Ukraine borders Russia, correct?
Correct.
Yes, okay. What Obama wants to do with his European partners in the EU is move NATO troops in Ukraine right up to Russia's border. Would you, if you were Putin, permit them to do that?
Of course not. But
well, all right. Would we want to see ISIS bring tanks to the Mexican border?
No.
I just crazy analogy. This is how Putin sees us. He sees us and the European Union as wanting to hem him in with heavy artillery and heavy weaponry, including tanks, on the Ukraine border with Russia. And he's saying, you're not going to do it. I'm going to create a buffer zone in that region of Ukraine, which I control through a proxy army. That's fundamentally the battle as I see it.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, why isn't the press, our fifth column, calling out Obama on this and, direct interference with potential?
Why? Because they're part and parcel of the same international New World Order. You know, I don't know if you read Stop the Coming Civil War, and I keep referring to it not so much to sell a book, but because it's my architectural masterpiece of what's going on in the world. What I stated is that there's a worldwide liberal revolution that's occurring in the last chapter. And I said this is not just about America. It's a worldwide liberal revolution. And Obama is the head of this new world liberal party. Would you agree with that?
I would, and the Russians are right to cringe when they see what's happening.
Well, I don't think they're going to cringe too long because they have the power to fight Obama. And if Obama wants to start a third world war, God forbid, I think the Russians are ready to go at it with them and we'll all lose. What in the world is this man doing sending a convoy of 1,100 miles through Europe of armored personnel carriers? Why is Obama showing force like that?
Well, I've always said at the end of the day, you may think Putin's a dictator, but you know what side he's on.
Yeah, I know what side he's on. He's the side of the Russian people. We also know where he was born, that's for sure.
It's
the same with Netanyahu. We know where he was born. We know that was when Obama was partying at Columbia, he was fighting in the IDF. All right, my friend, we can beat ourselves to death over this and gnash our teeth, but there's no end to this. Americans are crying for a return to patriotism and nationalism. And we need someone in office who will issue executive orders that reverse the damage that Obama's executive orders have done. And we must find a way to purge every last radical Obama appointee in 2016. We must find a way to replace them, not with Republican knee-jerkers, but with traditionalists and nationalists if we are to save the nation. Okay? Line number 9, KSFO, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Jacqueline. I'm calling from Israel, and I'm listening to you on KSFO over the Internet.
And what's going on in Israel?
Yes, I'm in Israel. I'm actually an American who I came here in 1971 the first time, and I moved here permanently almost 2 years ago because I was so appalled at what's going on in America. And I kind of thought about it and thought about the experiences of my parents as they got out of Germany in 1939. I see the rise of fascism. It scared me quite a lot. And so I decided to cut all ties with America, not go back and forth anymore, and move to Israel. But today I voted in the election, and it was quite an experience.
Who did you vote for, Netanyahu or his opponent?
Well, I voted for Netanyahu. And,
you know, because I've had callers like this in the past who set me up and you have me like a butter in your hand. The next thing I know, you're squeezing the butter on a piece of toast. You could have said, and I voted for the Socialist Party because I think they're better for my survival. Well, I'm glad to hear you didn't. So what did you notice at the polls in Israel just now?
Well, I actually took a photograph inside the polling booth, the voting booth. I asked permission if that was legal, and they told me it was. They actually offered to take if I wanted a selfie, and I said, no, I don't need a selfie. I just want to take a picture. What I took a picture of inside the voting booth is 21 choices of parties. There were 21 choices.
Wouldn't that be nice if we had that in America? Where we could make a choice and say, you know what, I like an Islamist party. I'm going to vote for it. And then we would look at half the people who work for Obama and they'd be on the ticket. But then on the other side, we'd have a nationalist party. Let's say a former Army soldier or a U.S. Marine or a Navy SEAL or someone like that. And we'd vote for them. But we don't have that. We have the same diet Democrat or diet Republican to vote for.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're just merging into the same thing. You really don't have a choice anymore. And the odds in America are so stacked against third parties.
Oh, I know. It's set up so they can't. It's impossible. That's why I spent yesterday talking about a new nationalist party that I would like to create. But I said all I would do is ensure the victory of a radical leftist on the Democrat side if I did that.
Exactly. Well, I don't know how the Americans would react. I don't know if Americans, maybe they're ready for a choice. Maybe Americans want an alternative.
And if there were a parliamentary system in the United States of America, and let's be clear, and let's not get go overboard. What party would Obama be representing? What party would he actually represent given his policies?
You mean in Israel?
No, let's say here in America, let's say we had 16 parties. What would the name of Obama's party be if we had a parliamentary system?
well, dare I say, the, you know, socialist or communist?
I would say so, too. Maybe the Socialist Islamist New Party or the New Black Panther Socialist Islamist Party. Because his sympathies certainly lie in that direction. I'm not imagining this, am I?
No, and that's exactly why I left the United States. I was born in the United States. I love the United States. What's happening to the United States depresses me. It makes me upset every day.
Well, what I want to know is, how does a man who is so extreme get away with it on a daily basis without anyone saying a word about his extremist policies and statements? Every day the man expresses this extremist viewpoint, and it's as though nothing is being said. I appreciate the call. Let's see what happens in Israel. Now, there are people doing great jobs in the media. Let's be clear. I watch Fox News, despite all of my ribbing about them, and some of them are phenomenal, and I'm glad that they're on the air, believe me, especially when we have no options. I mean, I think Megyn Kelly is as smart as they come. She does a great job. And because she is so good-looking, I mean, let's be clear, she can win a lot more hearts and minds than I can. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey, look. Of Israel right here for you on the Savage Nation. Never mind the Washington Post. TV exit polls in Israel show Netanyahu set to retain premiership. Likud is ahead or level with Zionist Union in all three exit polls. Better place to build coalition. Netanyahu's efforts in final days drew him level with Herzog. Delight in Likud, dismay in Zionist Union. Jewish Home Party slips. That's the latest news out of Israel. There is no question in anyone's mind that this election was hard fought and that Obama's fingers were all over the opposition in the form of Jeremy Byrd using tactics originated by Saul Alinsky in the United States of America and enacted through the illegal activities of ACORN and the other anti-American groups that we have had to deal with under this Democrat, Socialist, Islamist regime. Again, the latest news is TV exit polls in Israel are now showing Netanyahu set to retain premiership. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. We don't know if that will hold because their Byzantine form of voting and elections now puts it into the president of Israel's hands. You hear this? The election is now in President Rivlin's hands. I never heard of President Rivlin. We don't know how that works, but it's too Byzantine to worry. We'll have to wake up in the next hour and see where this goes. But it looks like he's going to win. Well placed to retain leadership of Israel. If you care to comment on the Israel election, the Savage Nation is open for business. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Okay, next case. Look, guys, I don't have unlimited time. When I call you, please talk. Line number 8, WABC. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, my name's Richie. I'm from New York, Brooklyn, New York. I want to talk about what's going on in Israel.
Well, say it already. Go ahead.
You know, first of all, this is the first time I listened to your show, and I have to say, wow, with a capital W. I believe so strongly about what you said about Obama in the beginning of the show, being anti-American, being, you know, he's definitely, in my mind, a Muslim.
Well, welcome to the club. This is my 21st year in radio, but I'm glad you just found me. It's always welcome. Always nice to have a new guest. Listen, let me send you a copy of my latest bestseller, Stop the Coming Civil War. We got to move on. And in the next hour, I know many of you stay with me for the third hour. We're going to have all the results, the solid results from Israel and all the latest news from the world. I'm excited to see what happens because right now it looks like Obama was foiled. He was not able to throw net.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
It's
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
News. I closed the show last night with the first report in the media before anybody. Radio beat the internet this time. But out of the Times of Israel, the TV exit polls are showing Netanyahu set to retain premiership, which means that Obama failed. That's the big story. The big subtext, if the Netanyahu holds and can put together a coalition, it means Obama failed to unseat him. And the next steps will be the important ones. A, we'll find out if Netanyahu really can hold it together over the next few hours and few days. And number two, if they can prove that foreign governments, including this one, meddled in this foreign election and did so illegally, whether any laws were broken and whether people should be put in prison after being tried and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. If you care to comment on what's going on in Jerusalem and how they're using the tactics they used here to subvert the electoral process, your phone number is 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to radio station WDRC. Line 3, go ahead, please, fire away.
Great. Doc, this is Steve from the most liberal, pathetic state in America, Connecticut. I have a question for you. I'm not dumb, but if you're surrounded by all these enemies, how can there even be a liberal party, let alone one in contention? I would want a military guy running my show. I don't understand that there's peace freaks in that country that are...
Well, Israel has an organization of suicidal people, many of whom are war veterans, entitled Peace Now. They're the ultra-left who believe that the best road to their safety is doing a deal with the Palestinians, two states, and doing a deal with Iran. I don't personally ascribe to those viewpoints. Given the rhetoric of Iran, which is to wipe the Jewish people off the planet, and the rhetoric of Hamas and Hezbollah, which is to kill the Jews, I don't know how you can have a coalition with them. But then again, they're there, I'm here, and I'm just looking in from the outside. It doesn't make sense to me.
I just don't get it.
Well, how does America vote for a man who is so clearly not American in his policies and statements as Obama twice? How does that work?
I don't know. Well, in this country, we're not surrounded by people trying to kill us.
Oh, no. Well, according to the FBI director, we are. The FBI director reported 4 weeks ago that ISIS has sleeper cells in 49 of the 50 states. And as a result of reporting that, Obama did not invite the FBI director to an anti-terrorism meeting in the White House. Did you know that?
Right, yes. But it's not overt like in Israel.
Yes, there's no rockets flying in. There's just illegal aliens flying in on a daily basis. And if the Border Patrol reports them, the Border Patrol agent gets fired. How's that for a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Well, it is. If you're a Mexican, it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Thank you for the call. Next caller. Boom. Bring the Hebrew forth. Bring the Hebrew in. I'm reminded of a movie from the 1950s where there was always an Assyrian king or some king from a foreign country sitting on a throne, and it was usually Samson that they brought in chains. And the king would say, bring the Hebrew in. That stuck in my mind. That kind of stuck in my mind. Have things really changed? Did they really just want the Hebrews in chains? WFTL Radio, line number 7. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Savage. This is Steve. And I actually want to tell you a nice story which potentially could actually warm your heart.
Do it quickly. The minute I hear nice story, I get a little... I don't like nice stories, but go ahead. Let's see if this is not as nice as you think.
I'm an Orthodox Jew living in Boca Raton. One of my best friends is another Orthodox Jew, and we used to fight all the time because he voted for Obama in 2008, and I believe he also voted for Obama in 2012. Here's a guy, he's a smart guy, a supporter in Israel, and he still votes for Obama, right?
Is that the nice story?
No, here comes the nice part of the story. Last year, he actually made Aliyah to Israel. He actually went to Israel. I call him up before these Israeli elections, asking him, who are you going to vote for? Thinking, you know, a leopard can't change his spots. He was a very, you know, a liberal Jew. Who does he vote for? Bennett's party, one of the most right-wing parties. So I have a theory. The way to get the liberal Jews to start voting more right-wing, we have to get them out of Israel, live on one of the settlements.
All right, well, that's not rational. It's not going to happen. There's no way to get a liberal American Jew to vote for a conservative. They'd rather vote for an Islamist than a white man conservative. That's how twisted their minds are.
At least
they have less fear. You don't know how sick they are. They have less fear of ISIS than they do of the Republican Party.
It's pretty crazy.
I mean, I stand by those words. I know how demented they are, but I don't want to go into it. It just doesn't do us any good. It doesn't. It just doesn't do us any good. It's 12 minutes after the hour, all focused on Israel. We're trying to be hard focused on it, and we don't know whether the results are firm yet. We're going to continue to track it this whole hour, because I think that before I leave the air, when most people leave radio and go on to normal lives, they have dinner at that time or they go home, we'll know what the results are. It's that simple. And we're looking for the results for you, as you may be if you're home. But the result that I just read to you is still holding. And it's now going up on many websites, that which we reported in the last hour. It's not even on Fox News yet. That's interesting. They're a little sluggish over there. I guess they're deciding what hemline to use today. But it looks like Obama failed to unseat Bibi Netanyahu. The only question is, if this turns out to be the case, will there be blowback on this manipulator in the White House? Will there finally be a repercussion to the machinations of the meanest, most demonic president in American history, where not only does he take pleasure in defying the American voter, the man is so maniacal that he wants to overturn the leader of Israel, a leader who wants to defend the people. What is up with this man? Why does he do it? What's the psychological modus operandi of Barack Obama? I am not a psychiatrist. I am only a talk show host. Let's go to some other callers on the program. WABC in New York, you've been holding. Fire away on line 5.
Hi. You know, this has been going on for a long time. As he's correctly pointed out, Clinton did it. Nothing happened to him. Who's going to take this guy to task? Israel?
Let's go back. You mean, as I did point out in the last hour with that fellow from Ukraine, that the American government has been manipulating foreign elections for as long as I can remember, going back to at least the 1950s, but it goes far back beyond the 1950s. We've always meddled in foreign elections.
Why should this night be different than other nights?
Well, because we're not eating unleavened bread.
They're taking the task. Look, he...
No, you're right. Well, okay, so other presidents have been criminal in this way, so why should he be any different? You mean when this government overthrew Allende in South America, it comes to mind, correct?
Yeah, but I have another question for you. How does he get away with insulting our enemies? Well, I'm not our allies. How does he get away with it?
I mean, it was a little different when presidents overthrew communists as to now when a communist overthrows a nationalist. See, that's the little difference here. There was a time the CIA did meddle in foreign elections, but it was usually to make sure that communists who were elected were unelected or assassinated. And now that we have a clear communist socialist bloc running America, they're doing everything they can to unseat nationalists. Isn't that what's going on?
That's correct.
All right, I see that. I don't know how I see things so clearly. You know, with swollen ankles and everything else, I can still see quite clearly. And the ankles are swollen from bad Burmese food. I'm joking. I just want to throw a food thing in. Netanyahu says great victory. Exit polls are coming up. We're going to the next article here. I guess it's from which paper now? My Way. Israel's Netanyahu declares victory in tight race, just published minutes ago. Jerusalem AP by Yosef Federman. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has declared victory after a tight national election, appeared to give him the upper hand in forming the country's next coalition government. Robert, you know what I want you to do? I want you to pull one of the Netanyahu sound bites we had from his great speech when I was in Florida that week. I want you to hear the voice of a real patriot, the voice of the Churchill of our time. And I want you to consider, please consider, the adolescent behavior of our president, who had the nerve to say, well, I didn't hear the speech, but I read the transcript. Never before in our history as a nation have we had such an adolescent president. What good does it do you for me to repeat this on a daily basis? Don't you get tired of this litany? Don't you feel frustrated hearing it? It frustrates me to have to say it. And so I will try not to talk about him. How's that? We'll talk only about the election in Israel. If you have that soundbite, Robert, you have it ready to go?
For 2,000 years, my people, the Jewish people, were stateless, defenseless, voiceless. We were utterly powerless against our enemies who swore to destroy us. We suffered relentless persecution and horrific attacks. We could never speak in our own behalf, and we could not defend ourselves. Well, no more. No more. The days when the Jewish people are passive in the face of threats to annihilate us, those days are over.
Well, I guess that offended Obama and the sorority, because to them the only good Jew is Woody Allen or Larry David, a Jew who's afraid of everybody, a Jew who can't defend himself, a Jew who's afraid of guns. A neurotic Jew is a good Jew. I'm sorry to talk about it. I know this subject better than you could ever imagine. I know how they think. It's a terrible, terrible thing to have to say, and it's almost an embarrassing thing for me to have to repeat to an audience that's, my audience is 99.9% not Jewish. And they don't even want to hear this about liberal Jews. They don't even understand it. Most of them don't even know what a Jew is. They have no idea. But unfortunately, some of us do. And this liberalism that has infected people is pretty bad. But if you think that liberalism amongst the Jewish people is crazy, you haven't yet met an Irish liberal. And if you think an Irish liberal is crazy, you haven't met an Italian liberal. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Here's a big headline, and this could lead to the downfall of people under Obama. Some of his buffers may be in prison for this. Listen carefully now. Obama-linked nonprofit filed for new IRS status after accusation of meddling in Israeli election. A nonprofit linked directly to Obama just filed for new IRS status after being accused of meddling in the Israeli election, which is a tacit admission that they were meddling in this election. Who are the people? The American nonprofit One Voice Movement, under scrutiny by a U.S. Senate panel over possible links to a campaign to oust Netanyahu, secretly and quietly filed paperwork that would allow it to engage in political activism after two leading Republican lawmakers questioned its use of government funds, according to FoxNews.com. The good Senator Ted Cruz, R. Texas, and Rep. Lee Zeldin, R. New York, sent a letter Jan 29 to John Kerry asking whether this group, as a recipient of almost a third of $1 million in recent grants from the Obama administration State Department, had violated its tax-exempt status when it began backing the virulently anti-Netanyahu Victory 15 campaign in Israel early this month. Are you ready for this? We know, as does Mr. Cruz, that Obama has launched a political campaign against the Israeli leader in the run-up to the election, which is why he threw a hissy fit when Netanyahu came to Washington. Ted Cruz said this: what does it say about the President of the United States when he's more concerned about undermining and attacking the PM of Israel than he is standing up to the mortal threat of a nuclear Iran? Now, what's this all about? One Voice, which until November was headed by a veteran diplomat from the Clinton administration, quickly brushed off claims from critics that its backing of V-15 meant it was targeting Netanyahu. Such an effort would be illegal under its tax-exempt status, which falls under Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. But listen to this. Just 5 days after the public dispatch of the Ted Cruz-Zeldin letter, a so-called corporation service company registered a brand new funding entity in Delaware called PeaceWorks Action, Inc., under a section of the tax code that still governs nonprofits, but permits them to engage in a limited amount of political activity. Are you listening? now listed under section is 501c4 of the tax code. It's called Peaceworks Action, Inc., and it's now featured on the One Voice website as one of One Voice's founders alongside Peaceworks Foundation, whose name has long been present and which holds 501c3 status like One Voice itself. Well, anyone who looks at this sees the registration by this group as tacit admission that it had, in fact, indulged in political activity alongside V15, which itself has been advised by former Obama manipulator, including its top field organizer, Jeremy Byrd. So let's pray to God that not only Netanyahu holds this victory firm over the next hour or so or a few hours, but that these people are indicted if they in fact violated federal law and they are punished to the full extent of the law. Maybe then this country will be free of the pox of the Saul Alinsky machinations that gave us Barack Obama himself. What they did to this country was a crime, and it's the same crime they just try to commit in Israel. Okay, I'm open for calls. The phone number is 855-400-7282. This is a huge story. It's a huge story. Maybe the little nation of Israel can open up the world to what this country has become under this leader of ours. That not only does he try to undermine the voters in this country by flooding America with illegal voters, but now he's doing it to Israel. It's unbelievable to me. Let's take some callers and let's see what you have to say. KSFO Radio, line one, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yeah, fire away, quickly.
Okay, quickly, sir. Mr. Savage, I appreciate your, how should I say,
Well, it's already 20 seconds to attack me. Make it. You got 20 seconds. I'm sorry. I don't control the clock.
I'm not going to attack you. I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you think the Palestinians are entitled to a homeland? Because
they have a homeland. There's one in Jordan and there's another one in the surrounding nations.
Never allow a home.
There's many homelands for the Palestinians. Ask why no other Arab country wants them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. For Eclipse, you say, well, what's new about that? Here's what's new about it. Because of the push for green energy, 100 times more power is now generated from solar cells than during the last eclipse in 1999. So what does that mean? It means that during the solar eclipse on Friday, it will knock out almost all solar-generated electricity in an unprecedented test for the network in Europe. So all of you greenies should understand that there are unintended consequences. Power plants won't go out from the solar eclipse. Coal-fired plants won't stop. Oh no, water-generated plants won't stop. Nuclear power plants won't stop. But the unintended consequences of your eco-friendly solar cells are going to cause a blackout in Europe that they're terrified of right now. Especially if the morning of March 20 turns out to be very sunny before the eclipse hides the sun. Because the sudden drop-off in production could reach 34,000 megawatts, which is the equivalent of 80 medium-sized conventional power plants. Did you hear this? The drop-off in solar-produced energy could be as much as 75%. Did you hear what that means? Even you dummies who are paying attention to sports can understand that. The solar energy that they rely upon in Europe is so vulnerable to an eclipse that they could lose 75% of the energy if the sky is cloudless before the eclipse, which will cross Europe from Portugal to Finland from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Friday. Now, one last note before we go back to Israel. The country hardest hit by the brief plunge into darkness on Friday is likely to be Germany, where 18% of all electricity consumption came from solar power. Attention, greenies. Aside from Germany, sunny Italy with a capacity of 20,000 megawatts and Spain with 6,700 megawatts could also be hit hard. France with its 5,700 megawatts also has a very significant solar power industry. So what does that tell us? I'm not arguing against solar energy. I'd love to see us 100% solar. But understand that with this desire for clean energy, there come great risks that we haven't faced with traditional or dirty energy, if you want to put it that way. Now back to Israel. Netanyahu is declaring a great victory. Exit polls are showing he has won by one vote, which will permit him to put together a coalition and prevent the importation of the socialist leftist bloc that Obama has tried very hard to install in Israel. Let's take some calls right now. 855-472-82. Let's go to WABC in New York. Fire away, please. Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay, next call. Look, guys, this is national radio. If you're called, you got to talk or I hang up on you. It's that simple. Call screener. Get them ready and green the phones that are ready to go. I don't want any pauses. Okay, KUGN Radio. You're on the Savage Nation Line 5. Go ahead, please.
Obama's not going to get away with it. He may in the interim, but I will bless those who bless you, or curse you, curse those who curse you. And our traitor in chief, unfortunately, he's taken us down with him. But when Netanyahu, and I believe he is going to win, but there's coming a time, and I think it's in the real near future, there will not be a Palestinian problem anymore. They're going to take care of Iran, and they're going to take care of the Palestinians. They've had it. And our traitor, this Muslim, and nobody's got the guts in the Congress because they're all gangsters, are not doing anything to stop him. I think we are. Our lamp is being extinguished.
Well, I have nothing to say other than I don't know what Netanyahu is going to do, but I don't think it's going to be quite as draconian as you suggest for one major reason. We're the number one arms supplier to Israel, so I wouldn't expect a major change. As in all politics, things remain the same pretty much after an election. We hope for changes, but there are very few changes in any kind of democratic or parliamentary system. You know, things change and things remain the same. But in this case, Israel's a vassal state of the U.S., and it will remain so. I'm sorry to tell you. They can't go it alone because they have no weaponry without us. They couldn't last 3 days without American munitions. That's the reality of the situation. Unfortunately for them, they have a sympathizer with the other side running the U.S. military, and there's nothing they can do about it. So I don't expect things are going to change that much. And as a matter of fact, I think that the illegal activity of this nonprofit group that meddled in the Israeli elections will be brushed aside by Netanyahu and by the U.S. Congress itself. Nothing will come of it any more than will come of Hillary's email scandal. You know, which I told you by the way, last week, I was the first one to tell you who was behind it. I said it on the show last Wednesday. It was copied by a number of people. Fine. Good luck to them. I don't care. But let me tell you something else. Here's something that I think could happen. Hillary says she erased 30,000 emails. You know what I think they're doing? They're 10 times smarter than the opposition. Just one quick note on that. They're suddenly going to discover some of these lost 30,000 emails. And guess what? It will show we're giving money to the Girl Scouts, helping crippled children, building solar plants in Pakistan, and doing all the good things that she'd like to be known for. And she'll say, oh, yeah, we found them. Here they are. And it'll turn out that the Republican opposition has mud all over their faces. So don't be so sure that they're not 25 steps ahead of those who were screaming for her head. It's that simple. It's just the way politics play out, and they're very smart people. WFTL in Florida, line number 3. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Is this line number 3?
Yes, it's you.
I'm sorry. Oh, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. The most important thing I want to say today is today we have to feel really good about this. We have victory. We have victory if Netanyahu gets in. That's victorious for us who support Israel. And this is a failure for Obama. We haven't been seeing that taking place on this.
What, you see a humiliation for Obama because he couldn't overthrow Netanyahu no matter how he tried?
Dr. Savage,
do you think Obama's going to get up and say, I'm sorry I lost the election in Israel?
No, that would take a...
Do you think you're going to see the Associated Press say one word about him trying to manipulate a foreign election? Do you think anyone in the Republican Party is going to say it? I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. Absolutely not. It would take a great leader to do something like that. He doesn't have that capability. But we have to stay focused on today. We were victorious. Netanyahu is getting in, and Obama had a failure. This is a good day for us.
It's not over yet, number one, and it's a dangerous time, number two, because we heard 3 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, it was 3 weeks ago, that none other than Zbigniew Brzezinski, according to reports, had threatened the Israeli Air Force that if they would fly a mission to take out Iran's nuclear facilities, the United States would shoot down Israeli warplanes over Iraqi airspace. That's your Zbigniew Brzezinski, according to all the reports. This is the same national security advisor who undermined the Shah of Iran and brought about the scourge of radical Islam in the world. So don't think that they're not active behind the scenes. And nobody listening to this show should assume for 1 minute that these demonic left-wing fanatics have suddenly gone away if Netanyahu wins. They are liable to double down on their desire to destroy the Israeli government. Okay, they could cut off weapons. There's a million things they could do to them. Let's take some callers. KVOR Radio, line number 7. Frank, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, yesterday you talked about a nationalist party, and you've done that for several years, which is good. I like it. You said you were going to form a nationalist party. Yesterday you said you just don't have time for it or not enough time for it. And again today, within the thread of your program, you speak of, and some of the callers, patriotic nationalism, which is certainly absent in our leadership within government and within the leadership of both the Democrat and Republican parties. If I may, I would like to suggest to you and fellow listeners, if I might point you to a website that might just have an answer for all of us.
I'll tell you why I don't permit that, because I don't know what's on these websites, and I could be accused of collaborating with some very dangerous organizations. So I'm going to have to say respectfully, I would rather you not, and I thank you very much for calling. I got to just take a pause and say something right now. You know, every day I wake up and I think about this president and I think about how demonic he is. And I say to myself, I don't know if I should say this anymore, because I don't know how dangerous he really is. Nor do I have any idea how dangerous the people are around him. If they would destroy a nation, what would they do to a man? I ask myself that every morning. The next thing I ask myself is, why do I have such a visceral distaste for Barack Obama? So the first question I ask myself is it racism? Is it, as the critics say, because he is a black man, at least in on his father's side? I have to honestly say it is not, because I look at other black men who are in power and I don't have that reaction. They could be boxers, they could be athletes, they could be politicians, they could be Clarence Thomas. I don't have that reaction looking at people of that heritage. So it's not race. It's the fact that the man is anti-American. It's the fact that the man is undermining the very foundations of our nation and has done so for all these years and will do more damage unless he is exposed. I swear to you, this is what goes through my mind every day. No, it's not based on race. It's based upon the man's anti-Americanism. And let me pause right at that. Take a quick break on the St. Patrick's Day. We'll come back with the latest breaking news out of Israel and all the other news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
In this deadly Game of Thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference with our European partners with respect to Ukraine. I did have a chance to take a look at the transcript.
Now compare one man with the... I wouldn't say the other man. Compare one leader with the other man, and you'll understand why Obama lost big time today. He tried to undermine him by sending over operatives and use polling tactics that have been used in America to elect this imposter into the highest office in the world. And now he's not happy enough with that. He has to overthrow the only man in Israel who would possibly, in my opinion, keep the nation safe. Now, having said all of that, I'm not a child. Netanyahu is as corrupt as many of them. In order to govern in a state, in a nation like Israel, you have to play games. You know, you have to do favors. You have to make deals. I understand all of that. Israel is not a perfect nation. But amongst the nations around it, it's a guiding light. Compare Israel to what goes on in Lebanon or Egypt, or do I have to say Syria, or any of the other nations, and you'll understand why Israel is the shining light in the Middle East, which is one of the reasons it's hated. It's because people envy what the Jews have created in Israel. I know they'll say, oh, no, they did it on stolen land. I heard the same argument here. So, in other words, here in America, we're on stolen land and we created this because we stole the land. Well, part of the argument is correct, but it's only half the argument. Yeah, the land was stolen from the Native Americans, but look what the American people built here. Yes, part of the land in Israel was taken from the Palestinians. But how many Jews were driven out of Arab lands the day Israel was created by the UN? Do you know anything about that, or you didn't learn that in your civics class or in your communist world history class? 800,000 Jews were kicked out of their homelands of Tunisia, Algeria, and the other Arab states in the Arab Crescent in northern Africa. People who had lived there for hundreds of years and had lives, houses, businesses, were stolen from them, and the Jews were thrown out of these countries by the friendly Muslims in these Arab lands. So there was a displacement from these Arab lands of Jews by Arabs, just as there has been a displacement of some Arabs from this land called Israel. The world is a very unfair place. The world is a volatile place. And the only thing that could save any of us are nationalist leaders who believe in the people. Period. End of story. We've had our experiment with socialism. We've had our experiment with pacifism. We've had our Neville Chamberlain moments here with Barack Obama. And can you honestly tell me the world is a safer place now that the Muslim Brotherhood is installed in so many places? Now that the Middle East is in turmoil? Now that Ukraine has become a tinderbox and Obama has reignited the Cold War, which is liable to become a hot war in a very short period of time, can anyone fairly listening to this show who understands what's really going on tell me that our experiment with socialism and internationalism has worked? You know it's not true. Temporarily, it may look like that, but that's for those with their head in the sand. That's for those who do not see ahead. That's for those who want to be a Pollyanna and think that all is well because today is good. I'm the type that looks ahead, and I don't see anything but dark clouds on the horizon as a result of this captain of the good state of ship called America. And that's what I want to say right now, and I'm glad I said it. I know this is St. Paddy's Day, which really is a really weird holiday about when St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. I don't quite understand it. What it really is a Irish ethnic holiday, and God bless them for having it. As far as tonight goes, I will actually not drink because I'm counter-suggestive. I will not even have a single beer. Instead, I'm going to go out and see if I can kill a few snakes. Unfortunately, there aren't too many snakes, and when I found one, I probably let it go. I don't think I'd want to kill it for no reason whatsoever. The phone number here is 855-407-2282. As the show closes, Netanyahu is declaring a great victory. Exit polls are showing that he won a squeak by one vote. And the big loser is the manipulator-in-chief, Barack Hussein Obama, who engaged in foreign election fraud through his front groups, which are spelled out all over the map. Will there be ramifications? Of course not. The president is insulated from any possible action because he uses buffers. Buffers. He uses buffers. What will happen tomorrow is anyone's guess. We do know that if Netanyahu wins, the Jewish people will both be celebrating and they will be crying because there are many people who don't like him. They say that he promised so many things and he never delivered. They say that the price of eggs and milk are too high and they care more about those things than they do about Iran. It's just the way it is. In any case, as of right now, all the exit polls are showing that Netanyahu has achieved a great victory, and that Barack Obama is the big loser. Don't expect to read that tomorrow in the Daily News. This is Michael Savage saying, take care of yourself tonight, and don't drive if you're going to drink.
Savage.